have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host, KBKM.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. It's 2024. And if you are like many people, you have made a financial resolution to get out of debt, begin tithing, or perhaps simply to spend less and save more. The challenge with New Year's resolutions is that we tend to lose focus on our commitment once the excitement of the new year is over. Making changes in our lives that help us to move forward are necessary, are never easy, and yet many times these are the things that we must aggressively seek to do in order to move forward in accordance with God's will for our lives. While it would be ideal to turn a switch and make all of the changes needed at one time, a gradual transition will likely prove more sustaining. So whatever your financial goal in 2024, begin first by developing a budget and asking God to help you make the gradual changes in managing your finances that will ensure long-term success. By doing that one simple step, you may find that as you make small steps forward, you will begin to see God give you amazing blessings that double or triple your efforts. I remember the year that I made the commitment to tithing. My salary was pretty small and my expenses were pretty high. I couldn't figure out how I was going to make it happen, but I knew that it was God's will. So initially I began tithing from my net take-home pay rather than the gross. I didn't always get it done, but I began to see unexpected financial blessings, which affirmed for me that I was headed in the right direction. After consistently doing that for about 2 years, I felt confident that I could make the transition to tithe from my gross pay. Whatever the change that you need to make, don't allow any temporary setbacks to keep you from moving forward. God looks for us to genuinely seek Him and move forward on those things that we must do to be in alignment with His will. You can trust that as you move forward, He will reward that effort with additional favor. Remember, each day is a new opportunity to take steps toward accomplishing your financial goals. It is not easy to stay focused, but if you do, the rewards will make your efforts well worth it. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest Richard Jr.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor. Here's this week's Gospel News. Detroit-raised, Georgia-based pastor, music director, singer, and songwriter William Murphy. He specialized in stirring praise and worship hymns. Along with his work as pastor, Murphy has earned 2 Grammy nominations and several Top 10 Gospel Album Chart hits, including for his 2016 live album, Demonstrate, 2019, Settle Here, and 2022's Worship and Justice. He was born William Henry Murphy III in Detroit in 1973. Murphy grew up in a religious household, the son of Bishop William H. Murphy Jr. and the grandson of Pastor Dr. William H. Murphy Sr. Raised in church, he developed a love of singing, and by his senior year in high school, he knew that he wanted to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the age of 23, he was ordained an elder in his father's ministry and served in a variety of functions, including minister of music and executive pastor. In 2001, he and his wife, Pastor Danielle Murphy, relocated to Atlanta, Georgia, where he began serving as worship minister at New Birth Missionary Church. As a singer and worship leader, Murphy issued his debut album, All Day, in 2005. The album peaked at number 22 on the gospel album charts and spawned the modern-day standard, Praise Is What I Do. He followed in 2007, The Sound. Producer Kevin Bond is one of the finest producers in gospel music today. In many circles, they call him the Million Music Maker. He's a native of Chicago. Kevin arrived on the gospel music scene in 1983. That year, as a 19-year-old prodigy, he became the organist for the wholly acclaimed Edwin Hawkins Music and Arts Seminar Mass Choir. Teaming up with gospel pianist extraordinaire Richard Smallwood, Kevin formally introduced himself into the gospel nation in the 1984 release, Angels Will Be Singing. Well established as a keyboardist and music director, Kevin began to exercise his production talent during the early 1990s. He collaborated with a number of artists, including Stephanie Mills, Donald Lawrence, the Kirk Carr Singers, and Trinity 5-7, among others. His work with these particular artists proved him highly competent as a producer and firmly validated the production facet of his calling. Kevin also serves as CEO of his music production company, Bonded Music. He's also founder of Flow, F-L-O-W, a band of studio musicians he organized to educate and instruct up-and-coming artists. The story of Black History Month began in 1915, half a century after the 13th Amendment abolished slavery in the United States. The Harvard-trained historian Carter G. Woodson and the prominent minister Jesse E. Moreland founded the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History, an organization dedicated to researching and promoting achievements by Black Americans and other peoples of African descent. In the following decades, mayors of cities nationwide began issuing yearly proclamations recognizing Negro History Week. By the late 1960s, thanks partially to the Civil Rights Movement, Negro History Week had evolved into Black History Month on many college campuses. President Gerald Ford officially recognized Black History Month in 1976, calling upon the public to seize the opportunity to honor accomplishments of Black Americans in every era of endeavor throughout our history. Today, Black History Month is a time to honor the contributions and legacy of African Americans across U.S. history, from activists, civil rights pioneers, to leaders in industry, politics, science, cultures, and more. Since 1976, every American president has designated February as Black History Month and endorsed a specific theme. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Kirk Franklin with All Things. 9, The Promise, Mississippi Mass Choir. 8, Speak Your Name, Anthony Brown and Group Therapy. 7, I Will Wait, Bree Barbineau. 6, J.J. Harrison and Dion Kipping with Reminder. 5, Renee Spearin and Kim Burrell with Tap Into It, The Source. 4, Trusting God, James Fortune and Monica. Number 3, Marvin Sapp with You Kept Me. Number 2, Only One Night Though, Ty Tribbett. And number 1, for the second week in a row, Damon Little with No Stressin' featuring Angie Stone. Well, that's your gospel news for this week. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
My name is Elder Lord. And my wonderful sister in the Lord, Pastor Henderson, is going to be joining us this evening. Pastor Henderson, are you there?
Yes, I am. I am so glad to be on with you tonight. Looking forward to the discussion.
Good evening, sister. Thank you. If you would kindly open us up with prayer, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for this time, Father God. We thank you for this platform. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to share and be able to discuss on topics, oh God, that will be edifying, oh God. Lord, we ask that you have your way tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless every listener and everyone that will tune in. And Father, we give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, so much. All right. Our topic this evening is going to be one that I know is near and dear to our hearts. Simply, and I want to discuss that and allow us to not only mull it over, talk about it, but also realize everyone has a different way of praying. But we thank the Lord because Jesus, our intercessor, prayers, and I don't know if he squishes them, enlarges them, or whatever, but he fixes them up and brings them to the Father. He's eternally making intercession for us. So I feel like that's a not only a blessing but a comfort, and that people should be able to understand that prayer, it's a lifestyle. It's something that you should consistently do, It's also, I believe, a certain type of release and or therapy in different situations, because sometimes when you don't know what else to do and you feel like you've come up against all the odds and you tried everything, you tried, maybe your banker, your doctor, maybe your therapist, you tried, your best friend, and things didn't come together the way you thought they should. But when we take the time to make our requests known through prayer and to surrender to God through prayer, we should all understand that He works it out. It may not be as quickly as you want. Sometimes there, suddenly stuff will happen. Sometimes it's, instantly. But there are also times where, you're praying and you're seeking God and you're believing, but it may not come to fruition or manifestation right away. I really want us to understand also how easy it is to pray. That we're just having a conversation with God, and that God doesn't expect us to have all of these eloquent scriptures and this whole dissertation. God just wants to hear our voice and to hear what our request is unto Him. How do you feel about prayer, Henderson? Talk to me.
Yes, I totally agree with what you were saying. And prayer is that divine communication, amen, with our Creator. And it's that fellowship, it's that intimacy, it's that thing that connects us with Him. And it's really precious. It's a privilege. Because when I think about that, He's given us the opportunity to talk to the Almighty God, the mm-hmm. Lord of Lords, mm-hmm. the omniscient, omnipresent God. It's amazing. And I think about the scripture that says, what is man that thou art so mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visited him, And it's a privilege. It's a privilege to have a communication with the Lord that's inoperable, that is operating 24/7, 365 days a year, plus leap year. And it's a blessing to be able to commune with the Almighty God. It is truly, truly a blessing.
And to piggyback on that, I have to agree with you because, number one, it's such a, it's a heartfelt privilege, but it's also sometimes it's a daunting privilege. I mean, you can, worry yourself about it or things of that nature, but the Lord says that we're not supposed to worry. But I thank God for not only the ability, but also the tutelage, where we've been able to learn from other people and even from the scripture that, prayer is important, but also it's not this jigsaw puzzle where you say, and yes, you can pray the Lord's Prayer, don't get me wrong, that works. You can pray the scriptures, that works. But sometimes when you're not well-versed in the scripture, but you have the faith to pray, I think it's awesome that we can just, you may not even be able to kneel. You can be sitting in your office chair, you can be laying in your bed. However you approach the Lord, I think it's one of those things where you feel like, I feel humbled and concerned. And I'm like, I have to make sure that I'm presenting myself in the appropriate manner. And if you look at our brother David, I learned years ago, not only from my pastor, but from, reading the scriptures, he made sure that he repented first. So he had his own little sip and he said, I love the Lord so much, but I know that I have done some things in this body that I need to repent for so that my record is clear and that when I stand before God, I'm in right standing. And I found that it is easier said than done sometimes because going through life and life is, pelting you with, could be financial things, emotional things, or it could just be, maybe visiting our past for the moment. And it's sometimes where you have to stand still and say, let me make sure that when I do pray that I'm in right standing, that I take some time to understand that God, yes, He loves me, yes, He forgives me, but there's also an opportunity in which I have to make sure that I am comfortable and that I am in the right standing so that I have the right perspective. I also look at that release mindset to further pray and feel that we have the ability to seek the Father and to ask Him, Lord, may I, have these things, or can you do this? Will you do this? There are different ways of praying the answer. We don't want to keep praying the situation. Some people that have those, old humdrum prayers. Oh, Lord, I'm sick. Oh, Lord, I'm sick. No, that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to understand that he is the answer. In every situation, in accordance with Philippians 4 and 6, every situation you can pray. No matter if you have this eloquent prayer or if you have to use your heavenly language, there are so many opportunities in which we can pray for every situation. Can you give me an example of where you feel like you've been able to pray for every situation, Pastor Henderson?
Yes, I want to take you back to what you said at the beginning, that prayer is a lifestyle. So when I think about prayer, it's like it's a daily communication. And so often, you know, there are some who just pray when they're in trouble. But our communication should be starting with our Father in the morning when you get up. You know, the first Amen. Thing I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank yeah. you. Before I even get up and move around, I'm thanking him because I'm acknowledging that he's the one who woke me up. And so throughout the day, he's on my mind. So when I'm doing something, I'm thinking about him. Lord, help me as I get ready to go do this. Lord, you know, give me guidance. So it's a conversation. It's a constant talking to him throughout the day because of my love for him and before my need for him because my dependency is in him. And so I think it develops a relationship that no matter what you're doing, you know, you always consult him. I remember when I first got saved, it was just that communication was just like, wow. It's just like I couldn't wait to get back in prayer. It's just like I couldn't wait to get home from school. I couldn't wait to get home from work. I couldn't wait to get home because I just wanted to get on my knee. I wanted to get in that place where it was just me and him with nothing but just me and him. And the more that you spend that time with him, the more you want to spend that time, you know, with him. And, you know, and then as time goes on, sometimes we kind of get caught up in our jobs and school and responsibilities and life, and sometimes that relationship tapers off. But I believe that God is calling us back to that intimacy of communion with him because in those moments, it was very clear to me what his heart was. It was very clear to me, you know, the direction that he wanted to take me in that day. And so I really believe that he's calling us back to that place of intimacy where we hear his heart and we are passionate about being in his presence. And when we do that, then he began to put his heart desires in our hearts. And he'll have you praying and praying for things and people that you don't even know. You know, there's been times when I would just get up and I wouldn't even know the names, but I'd be calling names and I'd be praying for the nation. I'd be praying for this. And I'd be like, I know this is God because I don't even know what I'm talking about. But it was his heart in my heart praying.
Yes.
And so I believe that God is calling us back to that place of intimacy where we are truly one with him in communication.
Good evening to you, ladies. How are you today?
Good evening.
I like the topic of discussion because in a day and age such as today, prayer becomes that much more essential. And you guys have said everything that needed to be said. I'm just going to add this little thing, that connection, the communicational connection to the place and point. Now, I'm going to take you back to Genesis when God first made Adam. Adam communed with God literally through the power of prayer. And good evening to you too, Sister Kimmy. I appreciate you, my sister. God connected with Adam through communication, which was through prayer. Remember, the voice of God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. It wasn't the very physical presence of God. It was just the voice of God. So in order for the voice of God to walk through, Adam had to have a connectional opening. And prayer had to have been that opening right there whereby he connected with God. And we got that same connection having been reconnected through Jesus Christ. We have to always remain God inside minded and Christ-centered in all that we do. And I heard you, Pastor Henderson, make mention of the fact that when you first open, and you do the same thing I do, you know, Lord, I thank you. It's like I'm communicating with God, good, bad, ugly, and indifferent. God, if God told you some of the conversations I have had with him and we have had, God would say, I should slap the taste out your mouth. Because, I mean, when you're communicating with him, you know, I mean, he's such an awesome God. He gives us that opportunity in that moment to vent. Even in prayer, when you go back through the Psalms, you see David vented about a bunch of things. And, you know, the one thing, that if I can bring this up, I don't want to detour too far from where you are because you're absolute in the positive, but I got to put something in a neutral zone that a lot of us don't pay attention to. When you get an opportunity, a chance to read Psalm 51, after David had sinned against God and recognized that he had messed up and he had sinned against God, what were his first words? Have mercy upon me,
oh
God. People don't think about that as a prayer. That is the prayer of repentance right there all by itself. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. David was not a dumb man, or he wasn't stupid by any stretch of the imagination. Now, here's what I'm going to throw at you. We often talk about praying the word, and we talk about praying in line with the word, not trying to be repetitious and things like that. But let's think about this for a minute. Look at all the Old Testament saints who did not have what we have today. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have scripture. They prayed directly from their heart. They had a heart-to-heart with God. The most effective prayer we could ever have is a heart-to-heart conversation with our Father in heaven. When we can sit before him open and vulnerable and willing and ready to receive whatsoever he says. Because let's just be real here. Job prayed open-heartedly, and God had to show Job where he was, you know. Job sat there and literally challenged God. When you go back and read the book of Job, Job challenged God. You know, I don't know why he didn't complain. He didn't say, I don't know why I'm going through this and what did I do wrong and this, that, and the other. You and I, well, let me speak for myself. I got the bad habit of saying, God, what did I do to deserve this? Well, let's start from here. You're mine. Let's start from here. I'm maturing you. I'm growing you up. I'm getting you to a better place than you are right now. Any more questions, son? But I just wanted to chime in on that. I'm trying to sit back and listen. I don't know who all you have for your panel, if it's just the two of you or you have others, but if there are any others, hello, hello, hello. God bless you.
No, it's just us. Just
okay.
Us.
Okay.
But, you know, I also thank God for your interjection because, you know, it also makes us look at relationships because if we don't have communication, because there are some people who, and they could be married, living together or whatever, that do not conversate. Do not have deep conversations.
True.
Or, as Pastor Henderson referred to, they only talk when you're in trouble. Look at that.
Uh-huh.
The way that he allows us to, you know, anytime, anytime. He says, without ceasing, in accordance with 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you know, and I laugh because we had developed, you know, the panel, I guess last week we were talking on the prayer line about without ceasing, and I believe it was Henderson, and if it's not, I'll still give you credit anyway, sister. She was saying that, you know, without ceasing, that means you could pray and realizing it.
That's
right. Such a light bulb went off. It's like, oh, okay, well, you know what? And no, I don't have to, you know, stand and do wheels. I don't have to be behind the pulpit. I don't have to be dressed in my, you know, my civic clothes or my uniform, but anytime. And that conversation, that is prayer, that's what the Lord wants. He's available all day, every day, 24/7, like Henderson said, during the leap year, 365, no waiting. You don't have to take a ticket. You don't have to say anything special. Even if you just say, Lord, I love you, that's a prayer. That's a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That's communication. That's reverencing the Lord and letting him know that you have him on your mind, that you love him, and that you are available. And what other way to open ourselves up, conversation, a quick interjection, and knowing that the Lord will answer. That's the part that's been blowing my mind the last couple of weeks, simultaneously. And I'm like, wait a minute. There's in stereo, there's in sync, and then if you think about it, simultaneously is beyond all of those. Because he answers all
the
prayers. I was like, whoo, my God is dead.
Yeah.
I said, you know what, Lauren, you have such a small mind sometimes. I was like, you know what, that's pretty sad that I'm almost 60 years old. I'm just now figuring this out. And just the joy that I got from it, I tickled myself. I was like, wait a minute. But that's how our Father is. That's how awesome He is, and that's how much He wants us to pray, to not worry about.
You know what I like about that? Elder Brown,
yes.
You just hit the nail on the head when you said, even at 60, I'm 65, and trust me, there are times when God just, and when I say expands my mind, I could say blow my mind, but, you know,
yeah.
I don't have a whole lot of mind to blow. So I prefer to say He expands my mind. When I come to a truth and understand that truth, there's an excitement. There's, you know, like a kid in a candy store. Well, let me use something that you like, Elder Brown. You're locked in a chocolate factory, and you're in the room where all the finished chocolates are. Okay, if you can imagine that, Pastor Henderson, you can see how excited she is. Anyway, the truth of the matter is God is just awesome, has always been and will always be. When, and the thing I like about Him is when we think He's not. See, I want to go take it one more direction. I'm going to take a quick detour here. What do we do in those times when God's not answering our prayer? We fasted. We've prayed. We've done everything right. We've obeyed His word. We've done everything God has called us to do. But what do we do in those times when it doesn't seem like God has responded to us? Let's talk about that for a split second, because you got many out there. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and God didn't answer me, so I just gave up. Why?
That's the problem.
See, and you say something. Go ahead. There you go. Hey, Deacon Sucks. That's you're right about that. When you say that, you're 100% right. But think about this. And I hear you say this all the time, Pastor Henderson. In your prayers, I've heard you say this. We trust You even when we can't trace You.
Yes. Hello.
You, I heard you say that, and I have held. I've held on to that one because that is the absolute truth right there. I got to trust Him even when I can't trace Him, you know?
Yep.
I mean, we want everything. You know, we're instantaneous people. We want everything yesterday.
Not like
now,
microwave.
Yesterday. The microwave, and I say the microwave is our emotional experience when it comes, when we think it should come. But when it comes, when He says it should come, oh, God, it's like we're saying, you're taking too long, God. I'm not going to make it. Okay, so don't make it then. I'm sorry.
Yes, and the essence of the relationship with Him. Go ahead.
Say that again. Say it one more time.
And the essence of the relationship with God is being able to trust Him even when your emotions and your mind and what you see and how you feel doesn't seem to have alignment. And that builds that relationship even more, because in that waiting, your prayer changes from a request to an adoration. It's like God develops your prayer life in the different stages. So while you're waiting, you turn that wait into a praise zone. You begin to worship and praise Him. Why? Because your faith says, even though I don't see anything and I don't feel anything, I'm worshiping Him because I know He's working something behind the scenes. And it just grows your faith to another level. It grows your prayer your life to another level. It brings an intimacy between you and the relationship with the Lord. And even though your feelings may feel, you know, disenchanted at times, or you saying, Lord, why is it taking so long, or why, you know, but on the other side, your spirit man is growing. Your spirit man is developing that dependency upon Him, that to who can I go but to You? So if I do leave You, where am I going? where do I go? Hallelujah.
Let me let Deacon Suck,
is in Him.
She is out there. Go ahead. Don't stop here. She's out there, okay? She gone, all right? She on her motorcycle and she... But you know what? That's the excitement of God talking to us. When God starts filling our spirit with things, that we get excited. What are we going to do? I know, Deacon Suggs, you wanted to say something. I'm going to hold my next comment until I hear from you, because I know you wanted to say something. You started.
I'm just going to say that out. That when Jesus when Jesus died on that cross and the curtain in the tabernacle split in half, that opened up communication for everybody to God. And when I think about that, I think about that when I was out in the world, I still talked with God. I still believed in Christ. And so I still had a communication open. We don't have to. So you know. Even though we go out and pray with people and encourage them to go on, but yet prayer is open to everybody.
Amen. And the thing about it is, when we were sinners, God heard our prayers, but God was not required to answer our prayer until we prayed the sinner's prayer. And somebody will tell you in a heartbeat, well, what is the sinner's prayer? That's basically you acknowledging that God is and that he sent his son. And you want to make that confession. Y'all, excuse me. I'm seeing like hiccups is trying to catch up with me. I bind you in the name of Jesus. We is not having hiccups tonight. Anyway, you know, it's just basically, you know, when God heard our heart cry to be saved, it was at that point that he started listening to us. And it wasn't before that. Yeah. There are a lot of people out there that are not saved, don't know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of his sins. And there are some listening to this podcast even as we speak. They feel like they have no real need for a relationship with God because they believe in a quote-unquote higher power. The truth of the matter is your spirit yearns to have communication with God, regardless of what you call him, Buddha, Allah, higher power, intimate spirit, whatever. The truth of the matter is you're looking to have a relationship with the Creator. And in the case of that relationship with that Creator, you're saying within yourself, "And I need to hear from you. I need to be close to you. I need to hear what you think, how you feel." And I can't speak with nobody on this line except for myself. You made mention of something, I believe, Deacon Suggs and Pastor Henderson, but you both said it in indirect ways. Pastor Henderson, you turned around and said, you know, whether, you know, sometimes when we feel like he ain't there, I like Psalms 139, where David declared that if I make my bed in heaven, you're there. And if I make my bed in Hades or hell, for those of you who don't know what Hades is, you are there. He asked the question, where can I go from thy spirit? Where are you going?
Uh-huh.
And then like we go back to Psalm 51 as we turned around, he says, restore the joy of thy salvation. Don't take your spirit away from me.
Yes,
I mean, David knew something.
Amen.
David had understanding of the relationship that it takes to be able to hear from God. If you really want to hear from God, whoever's listening to this podcast, if you really, really want to hear from God, you've got to open yourself up. Be vulnerable to him. If he reveals truth to you, accept, receive that truth, walk in that truth. Change what you need to change. At the end of the day, God has got to have the final say in your life. I'm
Amen.
Sorry, I stopped right there. Didn't tell me. There you go.
Amen. I know. Yesterday, I understand that empty feeling because yesterday, even though I was on prayer line and in prayer with, in prayer and in Bible study, 12 o'clock prayer, I missed morning prayer, but yet, you know, like I felt empty. I felt like I was alone. I didn't feel the presence of God with me. You know, and I was like, whoa. But yet I was in prayer. But it was a forced thing. But as I got off of prayer and got out of Bible study last night, I began to read my word. And as I read my word, it was like I felt this release on me. It was like I was being refilled again.
Bless God. Amen.
Yeah. It was an awesome feeling. And I woke up this morning with joy.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And That's what it takes. You know what I mean? And I sound like I came in here and just took over. It's not that I told y'all to start some exciting stuff, and then you expect me to sit there and say nothing. You know? It sort of kind of don't work that way for me. You know? When you want to talk about the word, and I mean, when we could talk about, I believe it was James who said the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. We learned a long time ago that James is simply saying prayer that has total effectiveness in the lives of those with whom it touches has tremendous power available, power that's dynamic in its working, power that has the ability to draw you closer to God, number one. Number two, see the solution that you sought after. And last but by no means least, bring a totality of completion to your everyday living. That's our Father. That's our God. That's what he does. You know? I'm going to say what the late, great Ray Charles said one time. You know? We want in prayer, we want to make it do what it do, babe. That's what that's really where we are. I'm just saying, y'all. Did I lose you guys?
Amen.
There you go.
Yeah, we're saying amen. Absolutely.
You know, well, I don't know about it. Go ahead.
Awesome. It's the fact that, number one, we can realize that even though, you know, it goes back to what you were saying, Bishop, earlier, that even though we can't trace God, that through our prayer, if you have to keep a prayer journal, you know, things of that nature, or if you just write them in the front of your Bible and whatnot, I like what Henderson was bringing to the table. She was saying that it also changes when you feel like you haven't gotten an answer, you know, and especially for someone like me who deals with health issues, I thank God that even though it may not seem like it's, you know, a healing in totality, I'm grateful for each and every healing that he brings me, and I'm grateful for that. And I keep, you know, planning. You know what, Lord, I thank you because I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I thank you because I know that through his word, you know, may not be traceable, it may not be able to, you know, the pinpoint, because even sometimes the doctors don't understand. I'm grateful because just being alive, that's a healing. Because if you think about it, each night when we go to sleep, you know, you're going into your subconscious mind, but also your body is at such a state, or should be at such a state of rest, that you could possibly not wake up. But the Lord loves us so much that he wakes us up. And as we go through each and every day, even when we're breathing, that's a healing. We're breathing in oxygen, and the Lord allows us to breathe out the poison, carbon dioxide. So in those little traceable moments, if you need them, they're there. But I thank God that as we mature through the word, and even as we see, you know, other people with their miracles, for example, our good friend Dr. Green, the trifecta, that was awesome to see where he came from, to see where he was standing on, and to also look at the ministry that he bred. I mean, Ernest and I know this from years ago. Bishop, excuse me. I mean, he was making tapes years ago. You know, you could buy tapes for him because you couldn't get gospel music, you know, except for on Sunday morning on YBC, I believe it was, and how he has stood over the years. And I'm like, you know what? That's a prayer there. He has a prayer life. And to see the things that you can count and calculate with other people, realizing that, you know what? God wants us to pray. Don't give up. And as I said, pray the answer. Don't pray sickness. Don't pray death. Pray the answer. The word says life, life more abundant. The word says healing. The word says deliverance. These are all the things that, you know, God wants us to understand that are available and that we can have through prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. And as you were talking, I was thinking about in the Old Testament, I believe it was Moses or Aaron, when the scripture talks about, I believe in the 16th chapter somewhere in there, when it said that Moses prayed, you know, he stood between the living and the dead, when the people decided to complain and things started to go wrong for them because of that, and they were going to be, and the plague came upon the people, and he stood between, he stood in the gap for them, and the plague ceased. And, you know, prayer is powerful, and God has given us the ability to have that intercession prayer going on in our spirit, that we can stand in the gap in our prayer. You know, prayer is not just something that's popular, but it has authority in the earth realm. It gives us the permission to stand between the living and the dead and declare, amen, change come forth, declare victory, healing and deliverance, amen, through the power of the Holy Ghost. And intercessory prayer is powerful. And if you look in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, it talks about prayer as one of the weaponry of the armor, because in that last verse down and around in there, in that sixth chapter in Ephesians, it's about praying in all prayers and supplications for all saints, for the saints. And so God has given us, amen, that weaponry of prayer, amen, to pray all types of prayer, amen, on behalf of the people. And so our intercessory prayer is powerful, and we should never take our prayers lightly, because prayers, amen, bring forth life. Prayer stops the hand of the enemy. Prayer causes plagues to cease. Prayer causes wet altars to burn. Prayer causes the dead to be raised. Prayer, amen, is powerful. And even Jesus Christ himself, when he got ready to do it, he prayed. And so he left this for us, that we would do the same thing. And when he prayed, he had results. And God wants our prayers to have results, too. So I praise God for the privilege of prayer.
Amen. Never to be taken lightly under any situation or circumstance. And sometimes there are some of us, and I'm going to say it this way, and I'm not looking to be offensive. There are some of us who say, oh, God's got this. Yeah, God's got this, but God wants to hear from you, too. Hello?
I'm just saying.
I mean, God's got this, but God does want to hear from you. To think at any time that you're okay and you don't have to spend time. And I know some of us will sit there and talk about how busy we are. You very well might be busy, but my dear brother, my dear sister, if you're too busy to stop and get instruction from the commander-in-chief, you've said pretty much told God in so many words, I got this. Don't worry about it. I can handle it.
You
feel like you want to go out there? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead on, sir. Go ahead and finish.
No, please. Go ahead. Put it out there.
I think about why Christ sent his disciples out two by two, and then when I read Matthew 18:18-20, it says, truly I say to you, whatsoever you bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will
be done
for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. You know, and so when we come together in agreement, in unity, you know, Christ over in John, I believe it's chapter 20, where Jesus prays for all believers, where he prayed that we would be in unity with the word. And when we're in unity with the word, there's power there. And just like when there's two or three gathered, God say he's in the mix of us. So when we pray, anything that we ask in agreement, we can have. If we bound something on earth, it shall be bound. And so what we need to start doing is getting together and bounding some of these violence things at some time, bounding some of these sickness and stuff, because they can be bound and lose healing from heaven.
Amen. You know, I like how you use that word, Deacon Tuck, bound. The thing is, and we know what that word means, to tie something up so it has no space or room to operate. And that's what we need to do with these sicknesses. When we pray a corporate prayer and we touch and agree, as he made mention of that word, we're putting something in a position where it can no longer be effective. And that's really where we need to go in this day and age. We've got to make sickness, disease, poverty, and things of that nature ineffective. That doesn't mean it's going to go away. It just means it becomes ineffective. It has no effect on you. It has no. It doesn't have you in a chokehold. Instead, you have it in a chokehold. And I'd rather have it in a chokehold than be held in a chokehold by it.
Amen.
Yes, exactly. And see, we got to make that happen. I mean, you know, and you agreeing with me in prayer, not praying against me. I've heard people pray, you know, and I want you to do this and I want you to do that and I want you to go here and I want you. God is not an ATM machine. Hello? God ain't no ATM machine. He ain't no slot machine. You pull the lever and you hit a jackpot. That ain't the way it works. That's our Father in heaven, and it's his good pleasure to give us keys to the kingdom. It's his good pleasure to give us every successful opportunity that he wants for us to be able to be what we're supposed to be. That's his job. That's what he does. And so all he's asking for us to do is to step out on faith and trust him. That's all. That's it.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
I think that
amen.
Trust is a faith exercise. Because
yes.
When we pray, number one, we're supposed to have faith. But sometimes if you're not confident enough, and I apologize if people are offended, if you're not confident enough in God, when you're praying, it may not feel like. And you can't go based on feelings, I know, but I'm talking from experience. It may not feel like you have really gotten the point across with God. And that's where I also thank God for Henderson and her infinite wisdom, because she was like, you know what, even in the groanings, even in the groanings and the maybe the deep, deep sounds in our throat, God is able to interpret those and to understand how is that. That in that moment of prayer, when you are so, let me speak for myself too, when I am so distressed, when I am in so much pain or in so much, you know, mental anguish, and I can't form, thank you, Jesus, articulate words, my God goes beyond that articulation, beyond that grunt. He understands, my child needs me. My child is taking the time to come before me. And that's an automatic. Okay, reward. Why? Because there's an exchange there. Not only respect for him and reverence for him, but I'm also exercising my faith and exercising my ability to understand that I am humbled before him and that I am his child and that he will withhold no good thing from me. I mean, the awesomeness of that was just like, you know, Bishop Ernest said, you know, mind-blowing. And the fact that God does not want us to give up. He wants us to have a prayer life. And yeah, sometimes things may not, you know, exactly come out the way you want them, but God's way is best. Lauren's way doesn't usually, you know, wind up with chocolates and fanfares and stuff like that. So I thank God that he is able to make sure the answer that I get is what I need. So withhold no good thing is what the word says. And the word says make your request known.
That includes chocolate.
Yeah,
that includes chocolate.
Potatoes.
Oh, but only a certain amount. We can't let you have too much.
I know, I got to be careful. You know what's fun? Sidebar. You know, I pray a lot, and I said, oh, you know, pay me in chocolate, pray. And one of my friends today brought by a case of Hershey Kisses. He's like, well, I have 35 more cases. I'm like, oh no. No, just thank you very much. But be careful what you pray for.
Somebody ought to have their organ tuned up. Wow.
But I thank God because, you know, it's so awesome because even just being a young person and even till now, to see where my prayer life has grown and to see where even my children kind of make fun of me and whatnot. As far as, you know, we had 6 o'clock prayer and then Pastor Darn would have 5 o'clock prayer sometimes, 5 o'clock in the morning. And we'd all get up and go, and I'm telling you, as we were there with corporate prayer and whatnot, you could go through the rest of the day, which seems like it was a breeze. We would go to work, go to school or whatever, And my kids would be laughing, oh, Mom, you're so loud. But guess what? Their friends, oh, tell your mother to pray for me. Tell you, what about this? Can I pray this? And I was laughing because I was grateful, because I really didn't care whether they were awake or not, because they had to get up for school, but I didn't care. I was praying because I was seeking God. And I had this feeling where I said, you know, the more I seek him, the better I felt and the easier my day was to get up and move on. And I thank God because even my kids, you know, when they see you praying, when other people see you praying and understand that you have faith, that may spark their faith. And even if it doesn't spark their faith, the word says that it's better to pray for someone when they ask you. It's better to make a vow and do it than to break a vow. So it's very important if someone asks you to pray, don't just say, oh, okay. No, you pray, you know, even if you have to go home and pray, write it down or whatever. But you pray for that person and release them because that gives them, you know, faith. It's an exercise, but it also shows them that we have not only concerns, but we have the ability to take those concerns to the Father and realize that God answers every prayer, every prayer. It may not be the answer you want, mm-hmm. but guess what? It'll still be a good answer because it's coming from our Father, and he knows what's best for us. We may not know,
amen.
But he knows. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God, you know, God invites amen. Us to communicate with him, let me say. God
amen.
Invites us to communicate with him and to ask him for direction, you know? Because,
amen.
you know, James 1 and 5, and I like what the Message Bible says. It says, if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the
come
Father.
On.
He loves
yes.
to help. You'll get his help. And don't be condescended to whom you ask for it. To when you ask for it, you know.
Amen.
So you see, God wants us to ask for help.
Amen.
Yes,
He
does.
Wants to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
Like you were just now saying, you don't want to hold back any good thing for us, but we got to trust Him. As that word trust, when we ask,
yes.
we got to trust because His word tells us that he wants to help us, so we got to trust that he will.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if it don't happen overnight, if it don't happen in 3 months, you still got to trust him.
Amen. Amen. But
amen.
You know, it goes what Luke is saying, 8:1, pray without giving up. Just because it doesn't happen right then and there, or like you said, 6 months, 7 months. For instance, in my case, I've been dealing with multiple sclerosis now for 32 years. But guess what? In those 32 years, the healings that he's brought me to and the places where I am medically is mind-boggling. I won't give up. I refuse. I'm still healed, no matter what. And I've seen my classmates, there's 3 or 4 of my classmates that are gone. But I thank God because, you know what, I still believe his word, that I'm healed. And that healing is every single solitary day. It may not be, you know, where the people say, think I'm supposed to be and whatnot, but being alive and being able to handle different things, that's a healing right there, and that's a testimony of his word.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Testimony of his word.
Amen.
You know, you sound like Job now because look at Job now. Now the devil went to God and asked him, he asked God permission to attack Job.
Uh-huh.
And look at Job, how long he had to go through. He wanted for 18 years Job went through, but he would not curse God.
Nope.
He would not curse God. For 18 years he suffered.
Yeah.
But he would not curse God.
Time.
No,
you know,
he
trusts God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Job didn't even know who his adversary was.
You know, and it may sound funny, but I can now identify with that. Number one, we have to be very mindful, number one, what we say. And I mean, and I don't even know if I have may sound kind of stupid. I apologize. I don't even have the courage to curse.
Why
would I curse God, who is my creator, who is my lover, who is my healer, who is my deliverer? Why? It doesn't make sense to me, but I know that some people, you know, have different issues and whatnot, but I look at it as no matter what, he's been able to carry each and every one of us through a situation, especially
that's right.
when we don't understand and we don't see it and we can't, again, we can't trace him. Where does it say in the Bible that we have to be able to trace him? It doesn't.
We don't.
That's something that right, thank you. That's something that we've made up. And our God is so awesome that, yes, we can trace him, but that's not what our focus is supposed to be. Our focus is supposed to be faith. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen.
Doctor, I'm going to tell you, Elder Brown, you just, I mean, if you were building a house, every nail is in its proper place. Think about that. See, too many of us think we've got God patterned. You know, this is what he's going to do. This is how he's going to act. And this is how he's going to react. And if he reacts or acts in a way different than what we're used to seeing, now we're challenging and questioning him. Why? Yeah, why are you, but I mean, you know, why are we challenging and questioning? God has something in mind. You know, when the scripture says, and we know that all things work together to them that love the Lord who are called according to his purpose, sometimes God has to detour the path that we're on to get us to understand the place that he wants us in. You know, I mean, you've got some friends. You may have to lose some friends. You're going to lose some weight. You might lose some hair. You might lose some sleep. But when it's all said and done, God's perfected plan has been executed in your life. And this is what we're not paying attention to. You know, it's not comfortable. Being shaped and molded by God is not comfortable.
Hello.
And, you know, I mean, you got to remember, we're the clay. He's the potter. And when he's shaping the clay, some areas are going to hurt. Some areas are going to, you're going to feel like you've lost. You know, I recall a time, and I'll talk about it, not to get into detail. My sister was one of the second of the siblings, to own a house. But both my younger sister and my elder sister owned a house before I did. And I watched both of them lose their properties. My younger sister called me, and while they were auctioning off her house, she was in pure tears. She was broken bitterly because, you know, it was her first house. Think about it.
Right.
But what she didn't pay attention to was the fact that even though she may have been losing that one, God had greater for her. The house she lives in now is even better than the house she was living in then.
Yes.
With my eldest sister, the very same thing. Now, I know the house that she got, my father gave it to her because, you know, he could no longer manage it. He had been up in age, and her and her husband, you know, they had to do what they had to do, whatever that was, and I'm going to get out of that because that really ain't none of my business. But they ended up losing that house. Would you believe that a couple of years later she got an even better house, a three-story, where she could rent out the first and the third floor? And she'd live on the second, and she had an income coming in from that house.
Nice.
See, sometimes we think that don't look at your loss as a loss. Look at your loss as a lesson. And ask God, what do I need to learn from this? What am I learning? In prayer. Sometimes we'll pray, a loved one is sick, they're on their deathbed. God, if you'll just heal them, I promise you I'll go to church, I'll pay my tithe, I'll go visit the sick. We give God this laundry list, and then the loved one dies.
Yes.
I ain't praying no more. I can't pray. He didn't answer my prayer. He let her die. Maybe it was better for that person to have left here for the pain and agony and anguish that they may have been in. See, this is where we get selfish.
Yeah.
But the care that you gave while they were alive, the attention you gave while they were alive, God took that into consideration. And now your time comes. Suddenly you got money to go on cruises and travel halfway around the world, whatever the case may be. I know we've all lost loved ones, mother, father. Both my parents are gone.
Mine
and would
too,
you believe, Well, you know, and would you believe, my sister took care of my mother, and actually my father, we were all in and out with him, you know, because at the time when I lived in Connecticut, I lived in Bridgeport. He lived in North Haven. So when I got a chance, I went to North Haven to check on him to see what he needed to do and things like that. But, you know, for the most part, we did what we could do. At the end of the day, God had the final say. God had the final say, because it was not in our hands. And sometimes when we pray, we think, and I made mention a little while ago, what do we do when it seems like God is not hearing us? Well, I think Isaiah had the best one. Listen to this. They that wait upon the Lord. What does he do first? When you have no strength, when it feels like you've exhausted every ounce of spiritual, mental, emotional, and in some cases financial strength, he renews your strength. You know, when something is renewed, that means it's been the prepaid cards we use in this day. Yeah, refurbished. Yeah. I'm getting to that. You're jumping the gun, but go ahead on and jump the gun. That's okay. When you get something, your strength is renewed. It is replenished, refurbished. It is put in a position where it's like brand new. Look at your prepaid cards. Every time you add money to that prepaid card, you have refurbished that card. And now it has the strength to do financially whatever it is that you have need to do. And this is what God is doing for us in our spiritual strength, our emotional strength, our physical strength, our financial strength. You know, I mean, he's refurbishing us. And he's reminding us of who he is. He keeps letting us know about Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Now go ahead, let's finish that scripture. If somebody's got it, look it up. Let's talk about it. You know, they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. What are you doing when you mount up on something? Aren't you making preparation?
Amen.
You're mounting up, making preparation. He puts you in a preparatory state. Your mindset is, I'm going here, therefore I'm going to prepare. If I'm going to New York, I've got to prepare to go to New York. I just can't go to New York because I want. How am I getting there? What am I doing? Am I taking a plane, train, bus, boat, car, bicycle? Am I walking? How am I getting there?
Yep.
But I'm just saying, how am I getting there? If I'm preparing to go to New York, that means there's a means provided for me to get there. And so I'm making preparation to get there. Okay? I'm mounting up with wings of an eagle. You know how strong eagle's wings are? I saw a clip on TikTok, I believe it was. I don't remember what kind of animal it was. I don't know if it was a baby lamb, a baby donkey. The thing was injured and could not keep up with the pack. Its mother had left it. They had all taken off. This eagle swooped down, clawed this thing, and took off. You know how heavy that thing looked? Think about how powerful eagle's wings are.
Mm.
They can carry 10 times their body weight.
Wow.
Amen. A 15
foot
span from
tip
to tip. Amen.
Hey, listen, you can do all the particulars on it, do all the numbers. The truth of the matter is, when you look at eagle's wings, when they spread out, that it's such a powerful force. But this is what God is doing for you. He's putting a powerful. He's the wind beneath your wings, folks. That's why you can mount up. And you can flap them and get to the height and above the storm. And from that point on, you no longer have to flap your wings to fly. You flap your wings and then spread them out, and you just soar.
Amen.
Yes. See, people like I don't think R. Kelly knew what he was talking about when he sung that song, I Believe I Can Fly. I don't really think he knew what he was talking about. Seriously.
Makes you wonder.
No, well, you know, God speaks through certain people. I don't care, saint or sinner. He speaks through whom he wants to speak through. But I believe with all my heart that he gave that man that song to teach even us believers a lesson. You can't fly if you don't believe.
Amen. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
All right, let me leave that alone. I'm embarking on another message. Henderson, don't be writing nothing down. I know you.
No.
Too
late.
You know, that's the beauty about God is that His word tells us how to get back in communication with Him. That when mm-hmm. we go on the wrong path, it's like we know when we're going on the wrong path because things aren't working out the way they should work out. Things aren't going the way you want them to go. All of a sudden, it's like things are just flying out the window, and you have no control over it.
Amen.
True.
And that's the beauty about God. That's why God wants us to always come to Him in prayer. You know, He tells
yes.
us to trust in the Lord with all your heart.
What? All of it.
For all of it. So therefore, there's no room for doubt. There's no room for us to say maybe.
Amen.
You know? And
mm-hmm.
then it goes on to say, and lean not on your own understanding. Look, you gave this to me. Let me handle it.
Amen.
You know,
all right.
It may not look good to you, But I'm working it out for your good.
Amen.
Amen.
You know? And then he goes on to tell us to in all your ways acknowledge him.
Yeah.
So what do we do? How do we acknowledge him? Anybody?
Praise.
In prayer.
Amen.
Amen. You know, it's
and
funny.
He's
going to
direct your path. Now, he's going to put you on the right path again.
This is Jesus.
So when I look back on my life, how I was off the path. I was on the path. Then I got back off the path. But I never lost sight of God.
Amen.
I never lost sight of God. I believe that even though I was going through what I was going through, but I believe that it was going to work out for the good.
And it
worked out in my favor because I'm able to give a greater testimony.
Amen.
I'm able to talk to people from where I come from, where I come from. He used me in prayer.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
You know, so I acknowledge him.
Thank you, Jesus.
So you see, when we go out, you know, it's great to be able to communicate to people and relate to people.
All right.
You know, and just because they're in the situation, I remember I was there, So the only thing different right now is that we just need to set your mind on a different path.
Mm.
Amen.
You know, so we
start
ask God to do
trouble,
that.
Why don't you? My goodness. This is awesome. This is so awesome. And I know it's about 10:15. I don't know if you want to keep going or if you want to hold it there. That's up to you guys. I'm here as a guest today. I know it's open mic with the bishop, but the bishop's making himself a guest today. Is that all right?
That's absolutely fine. I think it's important that we're able to address these issues, but also allow people to understand too that everybody has a right to pray.
Amen.
Everybody
has a right to pray. And
amen.
You know, like you said, no matter where you were, thank God you can review it from that standpoint, but also where you are now. Because a lot of people feel like, you know, oh, well, this is really not a sin, you know, so I'm okay. But let me burst everybody's bubble. sin is sin. There's no gradation. Whether it's drug addiction, whether it's sexual addiction, whether it's overeating, whether it's overspending, whether it's, you know, you con somebody or you murder somebody, sin is sin. And all of those things we have to repent of to make sure that we are in right standing with God and that we have access to the throne.
Amen.
Amen. Do this and I didn't do that. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter because sin is sin. So your safest way, and I'm speaking to myself, Warren, is to make sure you've repented, get in right standing, then pray and seek God's face. And what? I guarantee you, watch God move. Watch God move. Everybody.
Can I add one thing to that, if I may, please? After you have prayed in faith, you need to now praise in advance.
Absolutely.
Amen.
If you can't see it, if it hasn't happened yet, you've prayed in faith. Now praise in advance.
Amen. It worked. Yeah. It worked.
I like what you said about that repentance thing because when I pray, I like to always ask God for forgiveness.
Just in case you did something you ain't aware of.
And we all done, and throughout the course of the day, we all done sinned somewhere.
Amen. Sure enough.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You know, might be in thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Might be in yelling at somebody, and somebody said, "Get out of my way."
Amen.
Mm.
Jesus, amen.
You know, so we all sin throughout the day. That's why when we communicate with God, we do need to clear the way. We do need to clear the way. We do need to plead the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And I always believe this here from the depth of my heart, because we have a mediator.
Thank you, all power, and He mediates
for us. That when we go to God and through Him, He hears us.
And
I believe this with all my heart.
Thank you, Lord.
Because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Amen. Amen.
My.
It's important that we can understand that we have the ability not only to the Lord, but to be confident in the fact that we have the Holy Ghost, the Paraclete, the one that's called alongside Him. And Henderson and I were talking about that last time we were on. And it's important, the role of the Holy Ghost, called alongside to help, So He is a gentleman, and He's the third person of the Godhead. And being able to understand, even in our imperfect mode, because I don't know any of us that have reached perfection, that the Holy Ghost are imperfect.
In my mind, anyway.
Oh,
go ahead.
Let me pray for the bishop. But even in our moments of imperfection, or even, even in our moments of insecurity, where we don't feel like we're good enough, where we don't feel like we've repented of, where we don't feel like we are really what God is looking for. Let me dispel all those rumors. Guess what? God wants all of us in our mess, out of our mess, when we're sick, when we're well. God wants all of us. Why does He want us? Because, number one, He created us. Because He wants to fellowship with us. But also because He wants to love us and let us understand that He has redeemed us from the curse of the enemy and that He wants us to come back to right standing with Him so that we can make heaven our home, to have eternal fellowship with the Father. And in all that, the rest of the stuff doesn't matter. This just lumps in the gravy because God just loves us so much that no matter what we've done, he's looking for us. He's calling for us. He wants us to understand that we have the ability to repent, get saved, be washed in the blood, and brought back to right standing with him. I mean, I just think the whole setup is amazing. The whole
yes,
thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Thank you, thank you.
Well, I don't know about you kiddies, but yours
I
truly.
I like that word, advocate. I'm sorry. I like what you said about advocate, because that advocate is the one that's going to help us. That is helping us, the Holy Spirit. You know, the one that's comforting us, the one that's helping us to, that is connecting us with God again, the one that's inside of us that is going to help us to pray. You know, the one that's going to teach us and guide us and lead us in the way of Christ.
Yep.
You know, I tell you, and you know, when Christ went back to God, you know, he promised to send another advocate.
Amen.
And that was the person of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, so it's great to know that we do have that help that we need when we need it. It's great to know that when we can't pray, if we just go home, go there and speak in our heavenly language and ask the Holy Spirit for help to help us to pray, he's going to kick in.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
So yes, we do have help.
Amen. Amen.
And he also strengthened us. Give us confidence. Give us boldness.
Amen.
You know, he's speaking through us in a time where God wants to speak.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Look at that power. Look at that power that God has put in us.
They're going to go on all night, Jesus, but I'm going to get myself in the bed.
Thank everybody for joining us. And Bishop, if you would pray us out. And you know you're preaching tomorrow.
I do know it now.
You're the one who said it last week. Oh, I'll take next week, Dr. Green. So.
Well, I might change my mind. I might want to hear Deacon Suggs. But anyway, we're going to leave well enough alone. And I do need you, for those of you that would like to join or be a blessing to this ministry, we don't require any specific amount, but we want to continue to keep these airwaves open. We need you to start blessing us. You can reach out to us on our Cash App, $ Pastor's Corner. I am sort of kind of still waiting for somebody to sow into the ministry, and I'm not waiting per se. What I'm trying to say is that I don't want you to feel like you don't have to. I would love for you to. Let me say it like that. But if you don't, that's fine too, because God is still going to supply our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Just know that. So just know that. We love you with the love of the Lord. We thank every one of you for coming in. Thank you, Elder Lauren Bishop Brown and Pastor Anna Henderson for your contributions to Deacon Charles Suggs. And for all that you guys do, both here and on the prayer line. Excuse me. I better look for my water. You know, without you guys, a lot of things that ordinarily would happen would not. I mean, a lot of things that should happen probably would not happen. So don't think that I'm taking you for granted in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I believe that God has even greater for you to do. Right now, this is a stopover, not a stayover. So while you're here, work the work while it's day. Night cometh when no man can work, and we pray it don't come in the fashion where you cease to exist. So with that being said, let us go ahead and look to the Lord. Father, in the name of your precious son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, who gave his life for us, God, and put us in a position where we could now have communication with you. God, we first and foremost thank you for tonight's conversation, for all that was said, for all that was done, for all who contributed and took time to be a part of it. Thank you for our wonderful producer, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, and for the open door that she has provided for many of us, whereby we would be able to share a word with your people, God. Thank you for every those listeners, wherever they may be, whether they're in their car, sitting in their home, on their telephone, playing us through an app somewhere, God. We thank you that something was said to be a blessing to those individuals. Now, God, as we get ready to part this line, but we refuse to part and to give up your presence, we ask that you go with us, to stand by us, to continue to give us guidance, continue to lead us, continue to guard us, continue to govern us, continue to live in us, work through us. Use us for your glory, God. We need your glory. We need your glory, God. God, and we know you don't really need us, but you want us, and we thank you for what you're doing. We ask that you would give sweet sleep to those who are resting tonight, and for those who may have to work through the course of the night, give them safety, that no hurt, yes, no harm, or danger will come upon them. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, to the only wise God be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now, henceforth, and forevermore. And the people of God say amen and amen.
Amen.
Dr. Kimmy Robinson, the ball is in your court.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $PowerToStand or on PayPal, Pritchard719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.